Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Sometimes I notice I'm so hyper-focused on the things that I have to accomplish because I'm kind of an achiever and can be a perfectionist. So I'm focused on the message, which are never perfect anyway, or the music or something like that. And I forget about these events. And so I remember that we were having some folks over. I remembered that much. But then I looked out the window to see people from our church walking around our property carrying branches and parts of plants and stuff like that. And I was like, what is going on? It's like a science class just kind of trooping around out there looking at the woods and whatever. And then they turned everything into these beautiful wreaths. It was a pretty amazing event. Well, Bletchley Park, anybody ever heard of Bletchley Park? It was a mansion in the English countryside where secretly British intelligence was working day and night during World War II to crack the code of the German Enigma code machine, military communications. One chapter of the story is dramatized in The Imitation Game, a film called The Imitation Game, and this involved the work of Alan Turing, who constructed a seven-foot-tall machine that was a precursor of computers. It attempted to break the codes of the Enigma machine, the German cryptography machine, by using a process of elimination. So every day it would go through thousands and thousands and thousands of code schemes to try to break their code. And they were not making much success. They'd put a lot of money and time into this huge machine that Turing built. And it was on the brink of failure until they got some intelligence from the ground that the Germans put out a weather report every day. And they realized that there was something consistent about that weather report. At the end of every weather report, they signed it Heil Hitler. With that little clue and being able to decrypt those letters with their machine, they were able to break the entire Enigma machine. And this was huge. It led to significant military reversals, and it helped the Allies win the war. It's interesting that the idolatry of Hitler was something that played into the downfall of the Third Reich. Well, there are times when being able to decipher a code is critical, very critical. I know that if I were to open my daughter's organic chemistry book, I would feel like I was reading a book that was written in code. But if I wanted to learn that code, it's learnable. It's not easy to learn, but it's learnable. Sometimes when we open the Bible, what we see there looks like code. There are parts of the Bible that the best scholars in the world still do not completely understand, but with time and effort, we can learn the codes. We can understand what the biblical writers were saying, and then we can discern together how does that apply to our lives today. Initially, when Jesus started teaching in parables, his disciples felt like, what's he saying? He's teaching in code. The crowds didn't understand. Sometimes they didn't understand. Sometimes Jesus would take them aside and give them the keys to the codes. In Matthew chapter 13, we read, the disciples came and asked him, why do you speak in parables? Jesus answered, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that, quote, seeing, they do not perceive, and hearing, they do not listen, nor do they understand, end quote. With them, indeed, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, again, quote, you will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing. They have shut their eyes, so they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Jesus finishes quoting Isaiah there, and he says, but blessed are your eyes, to his disciples, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So this passage comes in the middle of the parable of the sower, where a farmer scatters a great deal of seed, but only a small portion of it takes root and grows. It's a mysterious story and a mysterious parable. Why don't all the good seeds grow? And why speak to the people in this code language of parables? Jesus gives a perplexing answer here. You're going to understand, but the crowds won't. Now why? Why is that the case? Jesus goes on to quote the prophet Isaiah and points to God's mysterious plan. And scholar N.T. Wright reminds us that Isaiah's ministry, like Jesus' ministry, came at a time of great wickedness and a time when leaders were corrupt. God's will is to renew Israel, but only after the nation is judged. And the metaphor used in Isaiah is a tree. Wright comments, the great trees would have to come down before the new shoot could start to grow. This is Isaiah 10. God would cut the tree down and prune it further and further until there was only a stump left. But then, after he did that, God would reveal there was new life hidden in the stump. So those who follow Jesus are those who are part of this new life, this new movement. Perhaps because of their responsiveness, they're willing to follow, they're given the code. Jesus sees some people who are interested. Jesus sees people who drop their businesses to go follow him. No, I do not want to try again, Siri. You're not supposed to be talking right now.
I don't have an answer for that. Is there something else I can help with?
Anybody else in the room need help before I say goodbye to her for a minute? I don't know what triggered that. It's on Do Not Disturb. Commitment was the huge difference. Now, even today, the message of Jesus is accessible to almost anyone on planet Earth. Almost anybody in the four corners of the earth can hear the message of Jesus if they want to. The opportunity to commit to Christ as Lord and Savior is there. It's available to everybody. And yet the masses, at least in our culture, choose other paths, many of which don't seem to be bringing lasting meaning and happiness. So the opportunity is there. And the same thing was true of Jesus' day. A lot of people, I think, showed up to listen to Jesus, to be spectators. Oh, he's a miracle worker. You got to go hear him. He might do a miracle today, so they would show up. Jesus wasn't giving away the wisdom of the ages for free. Let me put that differently. It was free, but it wasn't cheap. And so it was free for anyone who would commit, anyone who would stay, anyone who would listen, and their eyes would be opened. Commitment is important to understanding God, especially as we're encountering God, Jesus' teaching about God through the parables. Jesus, remember, he's walking by men who are fishermen. He says, come follow me. They drop their nets. They say, okay. They drop everything to follow him. Followers of Christ commit. Looping back to this illustration about Bletchley Park, every time I see dramatizations about Bletchley Park, they're like, it's life and death. There's an intensity to it. It's not like, those German codes, we don't need those. Just because they have these panzer tanks and they have this formidable fighting force and they rampaged right through Europe without much resistance, that's okay. You know, we'll get to it when we get to it. It's never like that. These people believe that what they are doing determines life and death. And in fact, it did determine life and death. They were committed. There was an intensity about it. And in the same manner, I think there's an intensity to discipleship, to following Jesus. It is that intensity that Jesus sees in his disciples. Maybe intensity is not always the best word. Maybe perseverance, because sometimes they wander off. Sometimes they lose track. Sometimes they just don't get it. But they come back, and they come back, and they come back for more. And maybe it's that faithfulness that Jesus rewards to say, here is the code to my teachings. Here are the secrets to the kingdom of the heavens. I'm giving them to you now, and I'm training you on how to live them. Here's the beautiful thing. When we modern-day disciples wake up to what Jesus is saying in the parables, our lives begin to change. We realize, it's almost like I was asleep. There was an Indian Catholic priest in the 20th century by the name of Anthony de Mello, who was quite the interesting writer. He was a straight shooter. Much of his work had to do with walking this path of soul growth and development and waking up, realizing that before you heard the message, you were somewhat asleep. And now that you've heard the message, you're awake to a new kind of reality. He writes in one of his books, spirituality means waking up. Most people, even though they don't know it, are asleep. They're born asleep. They live asleep. They marry in their sleep. They die in their sleep without ever waking up. They never understand the loveliness, the beauty of this thing that we call human existence. You know, all mystics, Catholic, Christian, non-Christian, no matter what their theology, no matter what their religion is, are actually unanimous on one thing, that all is well. All is well. Though everything is a mess, all is well. It's a strange paradox, he says, to be sure, but tragically, most people never get to see that all is well because they're asleep. And so much of Jesus' work in the Gospels is about waking people up. We see this in slow motion as the disciples follow Jesus and strain to take in what he's saying. Sometimes it's 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. It's not till the resurrection, after the resurrection, till they really get it, but then they get it. And once they get it, they are unstoppable, a force to be reckoned with. So we commit. As we commit, we wake up. After we wake up, we grow and we transform. We realize, we learn, God's with us. This whole thing, Jesus, this for these first century Jews following Jesus, it was like, oh, he's not so far away, this God. He's not so far away. Jesus just called him Abba? Did he just talk to him as Abba? He's not so far away. Oh, and Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's accessible. He's saying that it has arrived, that with the great prophets prophesied and preached, that that's arrived in the here and now. They learn that God is with them. It's like the shoot that is growing from the destroyed stump. God is growing in us day by day by day. Not just in the good moments either. Not just in the good moments. Preacher Ben Patterson of Preaching Today tells this story. Everett Koop, former Surgeon General of the United States, tells of a family whose severely challenged child he delivered and helped to keep alive after birth. He writes, "I asked the child's mother, 'What's the worst thing that has ever happened to you?' He asked her one day. She said, 'Having our son Paul, born with medical challenges that required 37 operations to correct.' Then I asked, 'What's the best thing that's ever happened to you?' She said, 'Having our son Paul with medical challenges that required 37 operations to correct.'" Coop goes on to explain, "I know what she means. It's been terribly hard on them, but through the experience, they've grown enormously as a family. They've had a remarkable spiritual reawakening. One of their sons is now in law school, planning to defend the rights of the handicapped. Paul has now had 55 operations, with one more scheduled, and despite the hardships, it's been an overwhelmingly positive experience for them in terms of their love for one another and the way they have grown in that love through suffering." Now, for families, most of us, 55 operations is a hard thing to endure, but that is their path. And the joy and gratitude that they're experiencing, the love that is growing through their suffering, is the code they have been given to experience God's kingdom and God's presence right alongside this challenging earthly reality. So in conclusion, it's been my joy to share this series on Jesus' parables with you, with some help from some guest speakers. Over the past couple months, we've shared about 20 messages on the parables. We've really dug in here together. And I hope you look at the parables with a new perspective and understanding. We've partially decoded about 17 of them or 18 of them together. And each time you go to a parable in the future, I hope you have some new resources. I hope it inspires you to be curious. I've been doing Presbyterian ministry for 27 years this month, and through my study and contemplation during this series, I learned some new things. I learned more of the code. The journey of following and knowing and understanding Jesus goes on and on and on and on, and that is the beauty and the power of following him. The journey never ends. It only gets better. So I hope your journey has gotten better in the last couple months. Your understanding has grown. Let's pray and ask God. Let's give thanks for these teachings that Jesus has left us and ask that he would help us implement them in the world each day. Almighty God, we thank you. You are such a good God, and that your teachings are free but not cheap. We have to work a little. We have to strain forward. We can't just put them in a PDF and leave them littered on our hard drive somewhere saying we'll get to them someday. We have to work at them. We have to practice at them. And as we do, dear God, we pray that you would enrich our lives, our relationships, our humility, and our love. We thank you that you are present with us each day, and we thank you for the window, the unique window into your heart that Jesus' teaching has given us through the parables. In the name of Christ, amen.